Blog Talk Radio.
Every now and then you need a word of encouragement, a bit of humor, or an inspirational thought to help shape your life. Today's guest, Jonas Gaston, has created a new book that brings a breath of fresh air to the complexities of our lives. How to Fly Like an Eagle with Wings Like a Wimp is Jonas Gaston's new book that offers you ways to take a chance, take charge, and take charge of your life. As a professional speaker, certified trainer, and ordained minister, the former Eastman Kodak corporate trainer brings his 30 years of corporate experience center stage as he shares new ways to bring and build a better life, a better career path, and better relationships with others. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. We are going to charge you up and motivate your life today. Well, good morning to each and every one of my listeners. I'm so glad that you are with me today. And this is Carol Copeland Thomas. You are listening to Focus on Empowerment. I'm broadcasting live from West Hartford, Connecticut, where it's a balmy 59 degrees, and I am enjoying my second grandchild, having put on the co-chairing the annual conference for the New England Annual Conference from the AME Church, of which I am a part. Worked long and hard last week, enjoyed every minute, and worked out very, very well for each and every one of us who attended. And now my little getaway trip is to play grandma here at my daughter and son-in-law's house in West Hartford, Connecticut, with my two grandchildren. So I'm enjoying myself, but I wanted to take a break to bring on a great guest who I've known for several years, a former Eastman Kodak employee, corporate trainer, and now out with a brand new book, How to Fly Like an Eagle with Wings Like a Wimp. Welcome to the show, Jonas Gaston. Glad to have you on.
Thank you. It's great to be on.
Well, I understand. Are you still in South Carolina? Is the weather nice and balmy there?
Yes, it is. It's beautiful here in beautiful, beautiful South Carolina.
All right, great. Well, you have a long history in terms of corporate training. You trained many, many employees, and then you took your show on the road some time ago to form your own business, in terms of corporate training. What is it like now in the work that you're doing versus the work that you did back in the 70s and the 80s when you worked for Kodak?
Well, it's just great because I love speaking as you do. I always emphasize there are three kinds of people, those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those who wondered what happened. And I am a person that makes things happen. And I've given the privilege to, through speaking and training and developing greatness, to help pull out the greatness that a lot of times are laying dormant into people's lives and cause those greatness to bud, to bloom, and to blossom. And one of the things I say a lot is that I never met an audience that did not bring me joy. Now, I will admit that some audience bring me joy when they enter the room. Others bring me joy when they leave the room. But nevertheless, they bring me joy.
I like that one. That's a good one. Now, you know, I hear that. People hear about motivational speakers. People say, yes, you can rev up a crowd and you can do very well. But what is your secret? I mean, I remember talking to you years ago, Jonas, when you had a series of deaths in your family. I mean, there were many people who had passed away. Yet what keeps your spark alive? What's the main ingredient that keeps you going despite all of the life circumstances that come your way, including your mom passing away and just other things that happen in routine life?
One of the things that keeps me going, I have and emphasize when I'm speaking, I give an extra bonus from Jonas. And one of the things that keeps me going, when your value, this is a bonus from Jonas, when your value is clear, your decision is easy. And then life is going to throw what I call lemons at you, but you have to learn the art and how to catch those lemons and make yourself some lemonades and have yourself a party. Now don't drink all the lemonade. Open up a lemonade stand and then make yourself some profit. And once life realized that you know how to handle lemons, they stopped throwing lemons at you. Now if you want lemons, you got to purchase it.
That's the entrepreneurial spirit coming your way. So, again, I want to go back, and I just want to talk about the transition that you went through from being a corporate trainer to going on your own. And I say that, Jonas, because there are people now, because of the economy, they see maybe they're taking a package from their job and they have an opportunity to start a new business, or things haven't worked out on their job, or they can't find a job and they want to go on their own way. What advice would you give someone, just based on what you have gone through, in terms of making a transition to the world of entrepreneurship and doing something that is rather not as tangible as setting up a retail store and selling widgets? I mean, you're selling hope and promise and motivation, which is not as tangible as someone who is actually selling a live product.
Yes. What I say to them, first of all, to work on yourself. Work harder on yourself than you are working on your job. Prepare yourself. Not only become a lifelong learner, but in my book, I make this thing, I distinguish between a lifelong learner and a laser a learner. Before you go into anything, know exactly what you're going to go in there for, because if you don't know what you're going in there for, you allow it to come out with something else. Also, one of the things that helped me make the transition a lot easier, I prepared myself when I was already in corporate America. I asked people when I'm speaking across the country, I asked how many of you drove a vehicle here, and their hands go up. I said, how many of you have a spare tire in your vehicle? Their hands go up. I said, how many of you have that spare tire in your vehicles because you're planning to have a flat? No one hand goes up. But why would you drive your vehicle around with a tire in the trunk already pumped up? Well, you got it in there just in case you have a flat. So you might be working in corporate America right now. You might be doing great in your profession, but get you something on the on the side as a spare, and it could be a motivational speaker. It could be a recipe. It could be a book. It could be a poem. Whatever it is, use it in your hand and prepare now, so when you get that layoff or you take that buyout, you can move into the position that you already prepared yourself for.
That's great advice. Again, I love the analogy with the car and the spare tire. Again, so often, particularly with people, this would probably apply to those who have been on the job for many years, and let's say they have not anticipated a transition out of the company because of mergers or downsizing. That's happening pretty common now. Your advice is to have something on the side, and I sort of tie that in with those who are really going to make it in life going forward are going to have multiple streams of income. You're not going to be able to rely and make it on one income stream in most cases, unless you're lucky enough to stay with a company for quite a number of years. So what you're saying is that a part-time business or something that you're doing that's bringing in revenue on the side is a way for you to opt out of a full-time job in case something happens. Is that not so true, Jonas?
Absolutely. Just in case, prepare yourself and make sure there's something that you love doing already that's going to cause you. Colonel Sanders, it was a recipe, and now you're having KFC. So what is it that you have in your hand that you're using right now that you're gifted with that you can use it? Because, again, you also have to understand in the economy that we're in right now, there's a paradigm shift, and to get that one job forever is not going to work. I speak a lot to college students, and again, when I speak speak to these commencement graduation, I emphasize that commencement don't mean the ending. It means the beginning. So you have to prepare your life, you know, for a success. And don't go where the path may lead. Go where there's no path and leave a trail. You are the CEO of your own life. So true. If you leave it up to someone else to plan something for your life, you're going to find out that they haven't planned much for you.
Or they plan something that will benefit them and not necessarily you.
Absolutely. That's why when I speak, I create a win-win situation. I want a win for the company, a win for the employee, and a win for everyone that's involved. And if you present it as a win-lose, then you're not going to be as successful. And of course, you got to love what you do. And I love speaking. And that's why with the challenges that I've overcome, you mentioned about the death of my mom. That was a devastating blow for me, losing my mother. And that's why I left corporate America early so I could move back to South Carolina and take care of my mother, because all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it to God and to my marvelous mother. And I took care for 3.5 years around the clock. And I made up in my mind, I had the conviction, and the Creator gave me the strength. I said, my mother never put me in the old folks home, and I will never put me in the young folks home, rather, and I will never put her in the old folks home. So I was right there when she passed away, and learned from her wisdom. And that's the key. And someone said, well, you left corporate America to take care of your mother. You gave up a lot. Well, I didn't give up anything. If I understand the contribution, and of course the doctors had written me off, Karen and Carol, and told my mother I was going to die. So 8 other babies had the same operation when I was about 4 years old, and 8 of those babies died, and they butchered me. I should have died because of the way they operated on me. And then when the operation was over, I was heavy sedated and stitches was in my body, and I came back into the room as a young boy. And I looked down, heavy sedated, and saw my mother, you know, by my side, and she stuck with me through thick and thin. And so I create a bonus from Jonas, is that don't let anyone bury you until after you're dead. You're bigger than that, you're better than that, and the best is still in you. Allow that best to bud, to bloom, and to blossom into a bright and beautiful future.
Well, that says a mouthful, and you actually have a whole book that are filled with bonuses, as you call it, bonus from Jonas, including this testimony about your mom. One of the pieces I see in the book that I really liked, you talked about people label you so they can limit you, and you say that we must shed off poison people, human vampires that will suck all the life out of you, your dreams, your goals, and your aspirations, and leave you to die, and they go to find someone else to suck on. Talk to us more about that, Jonas.
Yes, I emphasize that I'm allergic to negative people. A bonus from Jonas. Some people are so negative, you walk into a dark room. They walk into a dark room, and they begin to develop. That's how negative they are. And as you already said, I said in the book, people label you so they can limit you. But you are bigger than that, and you're better than that, and the best that's still in you. And, of course, being from South Carolina, Carol, I also talk about a lot that I used to, as a little boy, I used to go in the creek and get the crabs. And we used to bring the crabs back home, getting ready to cook it. And most of the crabs are still alive because they're fresh out of the creek. And we'll put it in a big tub, and we'll start the process. And there are crabs that's inside the tub that would have gotten out, but other crabs reached up and pulled them down. So consequently, they all got cooked, and they all got eaten. And the reason why some people now realize their dreams, their goals, and their aspiration, they're hanging around with people with the crabbish mentality. They're going to pull you down and hold you down, and consequently, you're going to get cooked, and you're going to get eaten.
Wow. That says a mouthful, and I'm sure each one of our listeners are listening live now. We have a number of people in the chat room, and then those who are going to be downloading the show later on will get a sense of this just from their own experiences. I'm sure all of us know of an instance or a situation that we've been in where our best interests were not necessarily the best interests of the people we worked with. It's a common phenomenon. People have their own self-interest, and there is a like and a dislike that people have as well. But what you're saying is that you have to move beyond that, and if you have your own agenda and you're focusing on your own strengths, it doesn't matter what other people say about you or try to do to you.
Absolutely. And of course, I also don't believe in wasting precious time and energy on revenge. I believe that the greatest revenge is to be massive successful.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
And use those stumbling blocks that they throw towards you as a stepping stone, and understand mm-hmm. today is the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is a cancel check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. But today you have cash in your hand, and to spend it wisely. And if you don't like who you are or where you are, you're not stuck with who you are or where you are, you can transform your life. And remember, mm-hmm. bonus of drawings, that a setback is really a step back to prepare yourself to have a greater comeback. And when life knocks you down, always strive to land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up.
Amen, my brother. Amen. One of the things I would imagine you would agree, and this is something I've done for a number of years, and particularly now, since times are challenging and you have to stay focused on the path that has set out for you, the importance of writing down your goals. One thing that I did early, actually on January 1st, because typically I use the month of January just to plan out the rest of my year. But for the first time, I looked at my year in terms of quadrants, looking at the business aspect of my life, the personal aspect, the spiritual aspect, and the financial aspect, and put different things in that. And I had a goal that was rather far-reaching, very important, very serious, but needed to be accomplished, and found that it actually became true, I think in part because I continue to remind myself that the job had to be done, the goal had to be reached. And most importantly, I wrote the goal down. Jonas, tell us about, and you mentioned this in the book, tell us about the importance of writing down your goals.
I have a statement in the book, Bonus from Jonas, if you think it, ink it. Ink it. If you think it, ink it. And as you mentioned, Carol, I've known you for many, many years, and I'm extremely proud of you, of your advancement and your accomplishment, and to have a program as powerful and titled the Focus on Empowerment, because that's so important. And you and I, we are kindred in spirit, because every year around about November, I block out everything, and I write my goals down. I take a look at where I've been, where I am, and where I'm
right.
going. I also take
right.
a look at the things that work for me. The things that works for me, I take it over with me. The things that didn't work for me, I leave it behind. And I use an analogy in the book. There's a difference between baggage and luggage. And a lot of people are in trouble and not living to their full potential because they're carrying their baggage. You got to let those baggage go and get your luggage. See, when you go on a trip on vacation to Hawaii, you're going to carry your luggage, the clothes mm-hmm. that you want. You're not going to take baggage with you. And in my book, and a teacher called me up from Boston, and she's using my book as she teach in a public school, and she's using the goal, because I wrote in my book SMART goals and what you have to do and being specific and having those goals spelled out. As I said, if you think it, ink it, write it down.
Right.
It's a map. It's a compass. It guides
yeah.
you. And I know that you have achieved great things and empowered many people because you took the time to map it up. Goal is so essential. In fact, they did a study at one college, and what they discovered, and I have it in the book also, a class graduated in 1952, and only 3% of them had set goals. They followed that class for 20 years, and what they discovered, that the 3% that set goals that was written and had a guideline to it and was specific had achieved more financially than the other 97% who didn't write goals.
Well, it makes sense because you look at any business, any organization, anything, any entity that's going to grow typically has a plan, and those plans are written down. So why are we as people different than the companies we work for, where we work for companies that have budgets, they have plans, they have marketing plans, they have strategic plans that they have? So it's just a matter of transferring that same concept to an individual so that the individual has a strategic framework or plan that is inked, marked down, and then reviewed. And this is a good time to review it because January was, 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Now is a good time to review what we said we were going to do back in January. Is that not true, Jonas?
That's absolutely, absolutely. And have that guidance. And in the spiritual sense, I emphasize to people to make God your solution. God is your solution for the New Year's resolution. So you have to have that as a foundation, a spiritual foundation, making God the solution for your New Year's resolution.
Love that. Love that. And in your book also, you talk about, I love your bonuses, and I've heard this expression before, but you very nicely explain it. You talk about my future is so bright that I need sunglasses, and you talk about developing patience, waiting on the Lord, shall renew the strength, and then shall run. Talk to us about why this kind of ideology, this kind of spirituality is important when you're moving through life and dealing with obstacles and opportunities.
Absolutely. The scripture says, the ancient book that I study says in Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. And what I say in the book is mounting up time. And there's 9,000 species of birds. And it's significant that the Creator styled us like an eagle. An eagle has the ability to see over 7 miles at a time. The eagle is the only bird that don't fly south during the winter months. It uses the storm as an updraft. And I know we are going through some financial challenge and economical challenge. This is the time to use the wind beneath our wings and become that eagle that we were designed to be. He didn't make us to be a turkey or chicken or a duck, but he made us to be an eagle, to mount up with wings like an eagle. That's where the title came from, how to fly like an eagle with wings like a wimp. Sometimes you feel a little wimpy. Sometimes you feel like giving in or giving up. But never give up, never give in, and never give out, because it's always too early to quit. And a quitter never wins, and a winner never quits. This is our time. And let's allow me to say this really quickly, because this is so important. A lot of people are concerned about the economy, and I have in my book also that many times people miss over the opportunity, and I got it in acrostic with poor, and it's poor with passing over opportunity repeatedly. See, sometimes we're looking for opportunity outside of ourselves, but really, opportunity is inside of ourselves, saying, let me out, let me out. I also put in the book that most people are not suffering because of ulcers because what they're eating. They're suffering of ulcers because what's eating them. Dreams and goals that are laying dormant. The richest place in America, in the world, is in the graveyard. There you find so many books. books never written, so many songs never sung, so many recipes and so many poems never came to fruition. Why? Because people allow it to die in them and take it to their grave. And I'm saying to you, don't let it die and take it with you. Sing your song now if no one else listens. Write your book now if nobody else will. Open that business now. Go back to school and get that degree now. What time is it? It's 9 o'clock. Bonus from Jonas.
And you—that's a great. You really talk about now o'clock in your book too. We have a question from Renee, a caller, and her question is: oftentimes, gender influences how people perceive or interpret self-confidence or assertiveness displayed by an individual. For example, assertiveness is in a woman. A woman is negatively interpreted as being pushy. Whereas assertiveness in a man is praised in terms of confidence. What words of advice would you have for a woman dealing with this kind of hypocrisy?
Well, one of the things I would encourage, because I speak to a lot of women all across the country, one of the things that I indicated earlier, just because they label you, don't buy into their label, because they label you so they can limit you. But since I've been in the boardroom and been in corporate America for 30 years with Xerox and with Eastman Kodak and been there and saw all of that, there are tips that's in the book and there are things that I can share with that individual that, first of all, have the confidence with what you have to say. Also, learn. I teach how to give a powerful presentation, teach you how to give your presentation, and learn how to do sound bites. You notice what I'm doing? We don't have a lot of time, so I get soundbite. Get in there, say what you got to say, and then get out.
Right.
Because they're not going to allow you to explain everything that you want to say. But soundbite. And when you continue to give the soundbite, some of them are going to get through. Now, some people in corporate America are talking about the glass ceiling. So what I tell people
right.
is this. They come to me and say, well, Jonas, I'm here, and the glass ceiling is up there, and I only go up a certain height. First of all, let's describe where you are. If you're already at the bottom of the glass ceiling, you haven't moved at all. I don't even
right.
want to talk about the glass ceiling. Let's make some progress. Let's go as far as you can go. And then once you get to as far as you can go, and remember, it's a glass ceiling. Glass ceiling. It can be shattered.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
mm-hmm.
somebody. Sometimes we don't leave because we limit ourselves. And, you know, and I talk about it in the book. They got the one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. We get stuck on three to get ready. I'm going to do this one, three to get ready. I'm going to go back
yeah.
to school, three to get ready. I'm going to get that promotion,
yeah.
three to get ready. I'm going to prepare myself better, three to get ready. So I just stop by the times of one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. But it's time to get up
and
go. Do
get
it
up
now.
And go, you. So true, so true. If you want to hear more about this, and we're going to ask Jonas where you can get a copy of his book, but definitely go to jonasbonus.com. That's www.jonasbonus.com. The phone number to reach Jonas is 843-379-8145. And Jonas, very quickly, where can one get a copy of How to Fly Like an Eagle with Wings Like a Wimp?
They can order it also through Amazon.com, or they can go to Barnes & Noble, or they can call and contact me as you indicated. Also, I have a quick clipping on YouTube. Those who want to hear a motivational speech for about 3 to 5 minutes, I was speaking to 500 people from around the world in Toastmasters International in St. Louis, and talking about my title, How to Fly Like an Eagle with Wings Like a Wimp. It's a great clipping that they can go to YouTube and take a look at it as well.
Well, you are a great example, and I just want to thank you so much. Also thank Cedra Jackson, who you work very closely with, and I'm glad that we've had a chance to have you on the show. Given the fact that we have several people in the chat room, this is a very important topic, and people have been listening as well, and I know this is going to be downloaded. Jonas Gaston, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us, and again, I think what is powerful is that you've taken your failures, your problems, your obstacles, and packaged it together so that our listeners and people who are reading your book will have a way for them to clear the path for success in their lives. So, Jonas Gaston, thank you so much. Again, the book is Fly Like an Eagle with Wings Like a Whim. Take charge and take control of your life. We wish you the very, very best as you travel around the country and share your words of wisdom and practical advice with those who need to hear a word of inspiration. Jonas, thank you very much for being a guest on the show today.
And thank you for having me, Carol, and keep up the great, grand, and glorious work.
All right, take care. Well, I'm fired up and ready to go just hearing this show, and certainly we all have obstacles and problems and things that happen to us, but Jonas has clearly indicated that there are ways that we can work through our own problems. We are all going to have problems. It's a matter of anticipating them, but doing it in a way where your plan, the plan that you have for your life, whether it's dealing with business or personal or community outreach, that plan will take you to a more empowered part of your life. I always say empowerment begins when you believe in yourself, and certainly you can do it with this plan of action. Thank you so much for listening today. Go out and have a great day, a great weekend, and we will see you next week with another exciting show. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and again, empowerment begins when you believe in yourself. Have a good one. Take care.